There's a story of a group of shipwrecked sailors who were drifting for days off the coast of South America. They were without drinking water, and they were suffering the horrors of thirst. And if you can imagine, the only water they had around them was the seawater. And if they drank that, well, they'll die from dehydration. It doesn't really help. Suddenly, they saw a vessel coming towards them. The crew on board said, "Water! Water! Come on, guys! Dip your buckets over the side and drink! It's safe!" You can imagine the sailors, they were feeling quite mocked. They were like, "Are these guys mad? Well, they're not drinking the seawater." The sailors thought they were mad, and they thought they were being mocked, and they were doubting their words. What? Water? The sea? However, what they didn't realize is that they had drifted into the flow of the great Amazon River. And this river is known for pumping out enormous quantities of fresh water into the ocean, making it safe enough for them to drink. See, the sailors didn't understand the circumstances around them. And when the truth was revealed to them, they doubted. And they continued in their disbelief. I'm wondering, is there times when you doubt the truth as a Christian? Are there times when you doubt the truth that you are forgiven and that your stance before God is right and that you will spend eternity with God the Creator? Are there times when you doubt this truth? You see, a lot of things can cause us to doubt our salvation. Perhaps it seems like a distant reality. We know in our heads that we have eternal life, but it seems disconnected from the experiences we have now. Perhaps we feel that we're not good enough, that we're a bad Christian, and that we don't deserve this eternal life that's been given to us. Or perhaps you're someone who's heard the message of the gospel and does not believe it. Then perhaps you doubt that there's really anything after the grave, anything other than nothingness. Well, today I hope I can show you why having doubt in your salvation is something that's not necessary for Christians. I want to show you that how we can move forward from doubt and how we can proceed when our emotional feelings about it make us uneasy. And friends, I want to suggest to you that in the midst of temptation, when we feel like doubting our salvation, we need to go back to the gospel truths. And it is through that gospel truth that we see the assurance of eternal life that we receive when we trust in Jesus. Okay, to give you a little bit of context, I know it's only one verse. This book, unlike the Gospel of John, which is written pretty much for anyone to hear the message gospel and respond, 1 John is particularly written to give Christians assurance and a true knowledge of what it means to have faith in the gospel truths. In other words, John wants to remind Christians of who they are, and he wants them to live in a way which shows their identity. That is, he wants them to remember God's love demonstrated to them through the gospel message in giving them eternal life and to respond in loving one another. And even more than that, we see that John wants them not just to remember, but he also wants them to rejoice, to have joy in the assurance of eternal life. And we'll see this as we look at the passage. So, in our passage today, I'll read it again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." First thing I want you to notice is, who are the believers? Well, as we saw, they are the ones who believe in the name of the Son of God. The Son of God being a title used for Jesus. We also see this under other parts of 1 John. In verse 1 of chapter 5, we read that those born of God, Christians, are the ones that believe that Jesus is the Christ. Furthermore, we also see the implications of this belief in chapter 3, verse 1, where we see that believers, now because they trust in God, they are now called children of God. So, as a child of God, John wants us to know we have eternal life. But what is eternal life? What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean prolonged life. It doesn't mean life that lasts forever after you die. But rather, if you think about it, what's the message of the gospel? Or if I expand it a bit further, what has God been doing and promising throughout the whole history of mankind? Well, friends, it is that by God's grace, he has been working towards and has provided a way to fix our broken, rebellious relationship with him, where he has dealt with our rebellion and he has brought us back to be his people, a child of God, as John describes it, so that we can enjoy and we can rejoice in God's presence and good rule over our lives. How has God done this? Well, he's done it through his love, in sending Jesus to die on the cross, to take our punishment that we deserve. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Furthermore, he has raised Jesus up as the Lord to give us new birth, give us new life into eternal life. 1 Peter 1:3, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, it's because of this love for us that we can truly know God the Creator and live with him in good and right relationship, where we can call God our Father and Jesus our brother. What a privilege that is. Friends, it's also important for us to remember that eternal life isn't just something that begins after the grave, but rather it is life that has begun already in the believer, in those who trust in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, we see this: "God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Therefore, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in this eternal life which doesn't depend on us. And remember that eternal life is actually the reality of being part of God's family. And we have it now in relationship with God. And friends, it's because of this very nature of the gospel, this very nature of who we are, a child of God, that we can fight against our feelings of doubt and have an assurance of eternal life. So let me ask again, are there times when you doubt the truth? Perhaps there's times when the perception that the future is uncertain. Does that bring doubt to your relationship with God as a life giver? You see, as Christians, there will be times when you doubt the truth. And it's okay to ask the questions. But our doubt should not lead down the road to unbelief. But rather, we must turn back to the gospel. We must remember that we are in relationship with the unchanging and completely trustworthy God who has made us his people through Christ. Do you find it hard to believe in this truth when perhaps you're in work or when you're with your extended family and you're surrounded by people who don't believe, who have a very different worldview to you? Their way of living, their values, their goals in life, they're all in opposition to God, to the gospel. And the pressures to conform, well, they're very real. And suddenly their worldview starts to sound much more attractive than the gospel message. Friends, again, remember the gospel. Go back to it. Live in light of it. Remember that you're in relationship and fellowship with God. And think about it, what a privilege it is to be able to share this message of eternal life with the people around us who don't believe, so that they too can come into fellowship with our God. Finally, in response to this message of God and eternal life, what should our right response be? Well, it should be one of rejoicing. Take joy in the fact of who you are in Christ. a child of God, do not doubt, but rather be joyful in this eternal life God has given us because we are part of God's family. Amen.